Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
And when Alexander saw the breadth of his domain, he wept, for there were no more worlds to conquer.
But a kingdom that has once been destroyed can never come again into being, nor can the dead ever be brought back to life.
Nowadays, there's a lot of talk about hate crimes. There's an entire body of laws against hate crimes. Everybody seems to be worried about hate. Hate appears to be the gravest problem of our time. But hate is good. Hate gives a structure to our life. Hate gives us a reason to exist, a focus, something to strive for, an identity. Hate is energy, pure energy, provided by Mother Nature herself. Hate enables us to see through lies and pretense and helps us to concentrate on the essential. Hate is democratic. Even the rich and the powerful cannot hate more than their slaves and subjects. And soon, hate may well be all that we have left. Hate emancipates. Without hate for slavery, you cannot break your shackles. And without hate for injustice, there can be no justice. The greatest achievements of the human race have grown from hate, and from the ability to control hate. Hate separates humans from animals. Animals do not hate, but humans do. Humans can hate for decades, sometimes their entire life. We can even pass hate on to our children and keep hate alive for centuries. Hate is a sign of abstract intellect, for only humans can hate people they have never seen or met, and only humans can hate concepts and processes. How can we know what love is if we refuse to recognize and understand hate? Love and hate are the two opposite sides of the same coin. Without hate, we are only halflings. In order to be complete, we need hate. Only fools talk endlessly about love, but forget the hate. Hate separates us from the meek and docile masses. Do not fear hate. Do not deny or reject hate. Accept hate. Embrace hate. Learn to know it and learn to use it. Hate is your most powerful weapon, a hidden source of your strength. Do not deny it from you. What the liberal elite fears most in this world is our ability to hate, because our hate will one day be the most revolutionary force on the planet. Our hate will destroy and create empires.
Thank you. All right, welcome to the Resolution Radio Network of ResolutionRDO.com. You are listening to the St. Thomas Show, and I am your host, Sonny Motherfucking P, bitches. If you want to call in us now, it's area code 607-203-5423. That's area code 607-203-5423. I'm having some technical issues at the moment, so bear with me here. I'm trying to try a different setup, and much to my chagrin, it's not doing what I want it to do. Of course, be too much to ask, right? Anyway, so I just wanted to kind of touch upon some things. I'm trying a couple different things here as far as connection-wise, and it's actually not what I hoped for. So it was worth a shot. I figured if anything, I'd at least try and see what happened. Okay, so I guess we could try to catch up on a few things. What the hell has Sonny Motherfucking T been doing? Well, I've been working a lot of shit. I had a lot of crazy-ass shifts trying to get things together. I've been trying to do some computer upgrades and some of the great stuff that we had our listeners still try to support us through snail mail. We're able to upgrade some of our computer works here. And we're trying a couple different connection options. So that's another reason why a lot of the shows on the network have been lagged between my crazy schedule and trying to get a couple different pieces of hardware that I needed. One of the main things I was more worried about than anything else was trying to get my bases covered. So that's really kind of the main thing that's going on, but more importantly, just trying to make sure everything works. So like I said, I'm not going to do the low res factor, but bottom line is it's still there, providing everything's working. So just checking some of my shit here, make sure it works. Toto, if things are picking up, wag your tail, please. So let's see what's all going on here. Yes. Okay. Yeah, Toto, if things are sounding okay, wag your tail. Okay, so trying to get some stuff done, and I was trying a different connection here, see if it would work, and it did not. So I'm going to try something else here before too long, and hopefully it works out better. Even though I've got a full signal, something isn't quite right. Is it clean? Are there any dropouts? Like I said, I can't get my board to recognize some shit, so I got to reload the thing here, and hopefully it works. Anyway, so besides trying a new configuration here and trying to get stuff done, we've been trying to get some stuff fixed here. Right now, I just have to kind of continue this thing because it's not doing what I want it to do. So, but we wanted to kind of do a short segment here on what's going on Resolution Radio Network. So, we are trying to get the programs back up to par. So I got a more recent episode of American Dissident Voices uploaded the other day and through my one computer, and it took a long time to get it loaded. So that's why I only had one episode loaded, not a few others, and just trying to catch up some shit. So we're trying to work on this as best as possible, trying a new configuration here. So we are going to get back in the swing of things. If I have to, I have to improvise, adapt, and overcome, as they say. We will cover that as much as possible. So we've got a couple of different updates as far as news going on. Saw that in South Africa, apparently, the interest rates on their credit cards went up. They went up 75 bucks. So basically what that means is essentially it's kind of like 75 cents. So it's basis points. So the thing that really interesting is countries such as South Africa are having similar situations as we are here, but they're in a much more dire straits than we are because of the fact that since they've allowed the ANC to come into power since 94, they went from the number three air force to no air force at all. So I think it's pretty interesting. I think it's also interesting that supposedly Joe Biden has contracted COVID-19. I call bullshit because that means basically it's a cover story for something else. Also, I guess somewhere along the lines, someone's got a full copy of Hunter Biden's laptop because they've been releasing stuff over fairly regularly. So someone's made a full copy of it and have been leaking a lot of stuff out. You know damn well if it was Don Jr. that had even a millionth of this type of stuff on there, even if it was him bragging, this fraudulent FBI, who I've said for the longest time, is also, by the way, is a quasi-government organization. It's not really a full implementation of the federal government, which also brings into question of its legitimacy. But the FBI is turning into the Stasi. And anyone that's ever lived behind the Iron Curtain, especially in East Germany, know all about the Stasi, such as Carl Ziegler talked about in his book, Freedom's Nightmare. So he goes into detail what it was like having to actually deal with the Stasi and other things. Plus, I've come across a couple of more classic books recently of similar situations. And there's a book called Darkness at Noon. It's written by Arthur Koestler. And apparently it had been written at one time, but somewhere in Poland or something, someone come across a full manuscript of the original book, so it had actually been painfully restored to its original content, which really gives you an idea of what it was like living in Stalinist Russia. And I'm trying to quote the book here real quick. I was actually trying to read the summary in the back because I did not take a picture of the back of the book. I only took a picture of the front of it. But I came across this recently, and I have come across it again, and I'm actually thinking of getting the audiobook and listening to it because I actually enjoy audiobooks as opposed to actually reading books, especially if I'm on fairly decent drives. I enjoy listening to it, especially if the narrator is good. So he was a Hungarian-born novelist, and was first published in 1940. And his best-known work is the tale of Rubishov, an old Bolshevik who is arrested. So basically, this is the guy who actually helped build this fucking machine. He becomes a victim of the only damn thing he helped create. So he's an old Bolshevik who was arrested, imprisoned, and tried for treason against the government that he helped to create. The novel is set between 1938 and 1940, after the Stalinist Great Purge and Moscow show trials. Despite being based on real events, the novel does not name either Russia or the Soviets and tends to use generic terms to describe people and organizations. For example, the Soviet government is referred to as the Party, and Nazi Germany is referred to as the Dictatorship. Joseph Stalin is represented by number one, a menacing dictator. The novel expresses the author's disillusionment with the Bolshevik ideology of the Soviet Union at the outset of World War II. In 1998, the Modern Library ranked Darkness at Noon number 8 on its list of 100 best English language novels of the 20th century, even though Koestler wrote it in German. So the background on that thing is, I'm trying to find where they had found the follow-up. Yeah, I was trying to find, I'll have to look at the back of the thing here. So, okay. So, trying to find a picture of the back of the book. So, bear with me for a second. Working on a new internet connection, making sure things work. All right, where's the fucking link? So, thank you very much. It's a little slower than I thought soon. Okay. Yeah, this is not running as good as I was hoping it would be. Well, bloody hell. Seven hills. Okay, this is starting to pop a little bit. Okay. Book cover. All right. I'm still waiting everything to fucking load here. Bear with me, everybody. I'm seeing all the different versions of the original cover, as well as some newer versions. Find the summary on the back of the book. It definitely is in line with 1984, as well as Animal Farm. I also come across another book as well, which also is written about that particular time period. All right. There it is. Okay, this is what I was looking for. You know, it amazes me when you hear the left throw around some of these terms and shit. This is actually Marxism. It's like how the approach is. It's like drinking a diet soft drink. You know, they're making it so it's palatable, but you're still not getting all of the full taste of it like you would if, you know, it's like drinking Diet Pepsi instead of regular Pepsi. And I actually think Diet Pepsi is a little bit smoother than regular Pepsi. But again, that's kind of how like they're. So again, I'm waiting for this to try to load here. So I apologize for the delay, but connection is not as good as I had hoped for. So I know I probably have to upgrade soon. Well, that being said, a lot of your contributions have actually helped me try to at least get to this step. So if you want to see Resolution Radio to continue to grow, please send cash, check, or money order to St. Thomas at P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. That's P.O. Box 27, Springboro, Ohio, 45066. I would definitely recommend you well conceal the cash and use security envelopes in there as well. Okay, well, this thing's running really fucking slow, so I apologize. Anyway, so in the aftermath of World War II, they come across, I guess, an original full manuscript of this, and once it was verified, they're able to fully restore this book as it should have been written. So it kind of was kind of considered a director's cut version of the book. So that's always some cool shit. So, going back to Biden having a COVID diagnosis, supposedly he's already had two shots and supposedly what, booster? So either clearly, if he does have COVID, it's because he took a placebo instead of the actual vaccine, which means he's full of shit like he always is. I mean, hell, he went to go to the fucking see the Pope and he shit himself, you know? Of course, if I met that Pope, I'd probably shit myself too because I'd want to kill that motherfucker. I can't understand how any Catholic would actually want to acknowledge that guy as the vicar of Christ himself, especially a Jesuit. So it does make you wonder. So I think there's another cover-up going on. I think they're turning the heat on Hunter a little bit, and it's starting to come back and bite him in the ass. There are some, I was listening to Jones today, they're actually some things circulating where they may be trying to get rid of Joe. You know, supposedly he mentioned something about him having cancer at one time, or maybe having it, and maybe the COVID is the cover story. So apparently, Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin's popularity rises to equal of Florida's Ron DeSantis. That's interesting. Except that as we see, compared to Trump, DeSantis gets results. He doesn't fuck around where Trump fucked around and found out. So, really, I'm on the fence. If Trump runs again, most likely I will not vote for him during the primary, especially if, unfortunately, I do not want DeSantis to run, especially since he's running for re-election of governor of the great state of Florida. But that being said, though, because otherwise you start looking like a John Kasich. So that would actually shake my faith in him a little bit. But that being said, this guy obviously gets results. However, I still say a Ron DeSantis, Marjorie Taylor Greene ticket is unbeatable because they know he gets results. They're scared of absolute shitless when it comes to Marjorie Taylor Greene. And it also would help the female vote. So they would probably arguably have the largest landslide probably since Nixon in 72. I would say probably the largest landslide, at least since Reagan in 84, maybe close to Nixon in 72. So it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen there. So then we see protesters that are still protesting in front of Judge Kavanaugh's house are now starting to harass his neighbors. And they've already had a couple of things, plus they're getting really nasty. And that's what they do. Use harsh language. Bullhorn your house all hours of night. You kid can't even go outside in the yard. Hey, we do in my block. They pull that shit. Somebody get their ass fucking beat. I'm serious. I would come out there with a goddamn machete and I'd fucking pull a damn Black Lives Matter in their ass and I'd fucking chop one of them down. So, or simply just fire a shot and said, that's your only warning shot. And said, you know the rule in the Army. You know, somebody wants to come up there and say, get him. You know, hey, man, whoever fucking does the call leads the charge. Let's go. Step up. And that's the way you should do it. You know? And I think that's something that's interesting because this morning I was listening to Ice-T's oh God, what's the name of that song? It was off his comeback album in 2006. I don't want to say it's Rules of the Street. It's anyway, so there's a code of the street, and just some of the stuff that he was talking about. You know, when you want to come up, be a little gangster and that shit, and this, that, and the other. Obviously, use revolvers instead of automatics with most uneducated people use clips instead of magazines. But that being said, there's always possibility of a jamming. Revolvers don't jam. So things like that. But leave your own crew. You gotta assume that your own crew at some point was stabbing you back or try to bend your wife over or whatever the case may be. So that's the type of shit that goes on. The rules of the street. And those of my ilk know what I'm talking about. Because the fact that there are just certain things you just don't do in our hood. I mean, you know, especially in my case, where I grew up in East Dayton, you know, when you say fuck around and find out, that's exactly what that means. And there's just some things you just don't do. So I give you an example. In some place once, and one of the supervisors or whatever this guy's position was, parked his little electric car in the way of where I was driving my forklift. And I had just been there for already, you know, 2 or 3 days. And I was just like, parked this damn shit kind of in my way. And I'm trying to, you know, unload shit. And I'm just kind of like, dude, you know, I'm working here. Could you please move your little vehicle? Because you're hindering my progress. And so I still went in, got what I needed, and came out. Then I go back in, and that fucker moved it up even more. And so, okay, right on. Go back out again. Told him again, dude. Your shit's even closer now. First time might have been a mistake, dude, but that looks deliberate. There won't be a third time. Get that fucking thing out of here. So, I figured later on you could actually pick these things up with a forklift and fucking move them. But I didn't know anything about it. But I tell you what, he moved it up a little bit more because he's kind of doing whatever he's doing with his laptop or whatever. And I told him straight up, dude, I'm going to ram the fuck out of that. You don't get that goddamn thing out of my way. So, again, I didn't know at the time you could scoop it up and move it. But I tell you what, being where I'm from, dude, I would have just gone up there, scooped his ass up with that motherfucker, and just set him off to the side and just say, what, you want to fucking say something? Come on, bitch. Let's see what you got. So, I mean, a lot of us don't put up with that shit, man. You know, it's like if you got a driveway, okay, someone parks a vehicle up by your shit, because, you know, it's a public street. But generally speaking, man, the rules have changed nowadays. Back when I was growing up a little bit, you don't park in front of someone's house. Okay, that's just kind of, it's inconsiderate, okay? I mean, it's public street, you can park anywhere the fuck you want, but the bottom line is, you generally, out of courtesy, you don't park in front of someone else's house. It's just how it rules. Now, if you're a guest, yeah, it's bad taste, but you know what? Don't be surprised if someone fucking blocks you in, you know what I'm saying? Because that's how motherfuckers just do it. Some of them are really anal about it, and they'll put their ass right up to your front bumper and make sure you can't get out. Which means they're basically, they're calling you out and they're waiting for you to step out so they can fucking tell you, dude, don't ever park in front of my house. You know, but that being said, you know, and I know some people out there, I know Toto fucking agrees with me. You know, my point is like, hello, if I'm trying to back up in front of you in your cars by my driveway, dude, you need to move your car, man. You know, first time it's a mistake. If you do it again, then either you're just being an asshole. Third time is full intent, dude, and you're going to get full repercussion. In other words, I'm going to throw that fucking reverse, and I'm just going to chomp on that fucking gas, and I'm going to make sure I yank on that fucking steering wheel to take out your front end, dude. Bam! Knock that shit right out of there. And if I have to, I'll get real shit-faced, and I'll make sure I just back that truck up and just plummet your goddamn car clear across the fucking street. That's how we roll in East Dayton, bitch. You don't fucking park in front of someone's house and not get retaliated against, man. That's just how it is. Especially some of these country bumpkins, dude. Some of these motherfuckers are so goddamn stupid, they have no fucking clue. There's just some things you just don't do. You can tell people to never run around the streets of a major metropolitan city, man, because they don't know how to handle things. Now, that being said, if you want to go fucking full country on somebody, now, you go and step foot on their property, fucking looking to fuck around? Dude, they get enough acreage, nobody's going to find you. That's just the way it is. Especially if they've got equipment, oh, yeah. You'll never be found, that's for sure. If they can't find a body, they can't ID, right? Get yourself a tub of lye, throw the body in there, they'll be gone in no time. So, tell some of these fuckers roll, man. But I think a lot of those basic rules of the street on this new generation are completely lost. And then when they sit there and they think it's a video game where you can go up and fucking act like you want to shoot cops or do fucking Doom thing where you're fucking first-person fucking shooter game, and they don't understand why you've got hit points in a video game, dude. You don't get hit points in real life, okay? You go around and act like you're going to pop somebody, dude, and you ain't got the fucking tools to back it up. You're going to get fucked up. That's just the way it is. And you're sitting there wondering why you're smelling your ear all of a sudden. What the fuck just happened? Reality check, bitch. That's what happened. You just got fucked up. And I think that's the biggest problem with this generation, dude. They don't go outside. They don't go and play. They don't have a connection to the real world. They don't walk to school because the transportation is completely controlled. And the biggest issue is, something as simple as if you had to walk to school every day like we did, you prepared for the weather. When it comes to beginning of school year and you had to go pick a book bag, most likely you're going to try to pick something that is at least somewhat water repellent. Otherwise, you're going to have to adapt. That could mean wrapping your books in like a garbage bag and then putting them into your backpack, okay? You know, some people may not be able to afford the water-resistant or water-repellent backpacks, and so they have to improvise. So, again, this is what we did. You know, and I think that's the biggest problem with a lot of kids these days. They have no understanding of what scarcity is. They've always got food in the fridge. They can always have microwave popcorn, instant gratification on their phones, yada, 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 you know. Whereas us growing up, hey, dude, we had to fucking do chores, cut grass, maybe actually have an actual job if you're of age and get a permit. If you wanted that latest Iron Maiden record, you had to actually save up and buy it. Or you want the latest Kiss album on cassette, you had to get the money, go down to the fucking whatever shop that sold it, and do that. I mean, so the cool thing is, in my case, I've met a lot of rockers I grew up with. And one of my favorite moments is when I finally got to meet Tom Kiefer of Cinderella. Of course, after less sitting out there for 40 minutes after the gig, freezing our fucking asses off. And you're wearing a leather jacket, dude, out in the fucking cold, and that wind's blowing about 10, 15 miles an hour. It gets cold, man. So finally got up in there, and I had my original Night Songs cassette, which is probably the third or fourth fucking album I bought for myself when I started getting into rock music, and as well as the CD. And I told Tom, I said, you know, Night Songs is one of my top 10 Island albums. He said, really? I was like, oh, dude, all killer, no filler. There isn't one bad song in that record. Albums, when you're going to be on a deserted island, you can't include a greatest hits album. That's cheating. It has to be an actual record that you think is good enough that you've got to have. You know, in my case, and you can only have one album from that artist. You can't have four or five records from the same artist. That kind of defeats purpose. So in my case, since Kiss is my favorite band for the longest time, Creatures of the Night would definitely be one of the top 10 Island albums. Wasp, Inside Electric Circuit, or no, I'm sorry, Wasp, the Headless Children, fuck yeah. I mean, that's another classic album there. Metallica, Kill 'Em All, absolutely. Vinnie Vincent of Asian, abso-fucking-lutely. There are just some albums that either you had early on, you've always had an affinity for, or no matter what you're going through, you can put that record on, or there's a song on there that helps you get through your trying times. So for me, Cinderella Night Songs is definitely one of those records. So, you know, as I think of any time, at least someone appreciate the fact that I held it in such high regard. But that being said, many of those, and again, I still have the original cassette that I bought in 1987, all right? So, and it doesn't have the squeals yet. And what squeals are is basically you get near the end of the tape on one side and it starts to go, that means the tape is about fucking worn out. So that's when you know that the tape's getting near the end of its life. And especially if you have, how many times you might have actually let it get crinkled up in the fucking pinions and stuff and you had to go try to straighten it back out. Or you somehow the little switch got stuck and you went to hit play and accidentally hit record and now you got to drop out in your tape. One of my Kiss albums has that. I think it's actually Lick It Up. So, I mean, that's those create memories and for many of us are the soundtracks of our lives. I think a lot of these kids these days don't know what that means. Because when you look at the limited technology of record albums and cassettes or even 8-tracks, you had sides. And so oftentimes you had to go flip the fucker over. So another beauty of the artistry of albums or as long plays, which is LPs, is the single could be the second or third song in, but it forces you to listen to the rest of the album to get to the single. Nobody wants to pick up the stylus and try to put it on the damn spot where the record is. It makes you listen to the other songs beforehand. Most people don't realize that many of those songs end up becoming hits or fan favorites because of the fact that the fan had to listen to it and really the song grew on them. I agree with Paul Stanley Kiss when he said that the opening track, he's a big fan of opening tracks because they set the whole tone of the record. Prime example, I actually think Destroyer is one of the weakest albums, but you have to arguably agree the opening and going into the song Detroit Rock City on Kiss Destroyer is a great way to start a record off. Badass. You know? Yellow Brick Road, debut album with Elton John, Funeral for a Friend. What a great fucking intro before going into the next track. I mean, badass. I mean, it's nice, long, lengthy instrumental. Great jam session. Good stuff, man. So I'm a big fan of a lot of that stuff because it really sets the tone, especially if you have a little intro and they're playing during on that tour. Oftentimes they use that as the intro to get the mood going before the artist comes on stage and jams out. So that's always a pretty neat thing in itself. But my biggest issue is there are certain rules of the street, and a lot of us who work hard for our stuff, and for many of us, that's all we have because that's all we can afford. Maybe we're lucky to get a deal on something, or maybe we're fortunate to have a hand-me-down. Or someone just said, dude, I don't need this. Go ahead and take it. So you know the rule of the street. Something that's given you for free usually isn't worth a damn, okay? When you actually go out and earn it, means more. You know, you go out and save and get that couch for your first apartment, you're going to make sure no motherfucker is going to spill food on it. Nobody's going to have a cigarette burn on it. You're going to be anal as fuck because especially if you're still making payments on that couch, you're going to be very particular about that. It's kind of like someone who leases a vehicle. They're going to try to keep the mileage down because they're going to get dinged really hard when they turn the vehicle in. But when it's something that you actually own, you can decide what you want to do with it. If you own the car and you decide you want to take out to the middle of a field, blow it up, that's your fucking business. You know? You want to go do some modifications on it, maybe get a little pep in your step, or maybe you want to restore it. Maybe you want to modify it so it looks more badass. Whatever the case may be, I always appreciate people who put a lot of work and time into their vehicles and making it look jazzy, especially that little themes. Like I've been to car shows and they got little, like they're kind of like little horror themes or whatever, or kind of death themes, where like I saw in this one car, it was like a Dodge Challenger, and you look inside the air cleaner box, and the air cleaner box was actually a coffin, and you had a little skeleton laying in there. And then you had like a little, you know, troll-looking guy sitting out there looking like he's waxing the five-star fucking rim on the wheel. And then you see like little skulls in the headrest and stuff like that. You know, really cool shit that has an interesting theme to it. And you might have a couple of toys to accent it just to make it look kind of neat. I always like those because, in fact, it shows someone has creativity. Someone actually uses the brain. It did something. But one of the things I did want to cover on the show tonight is we really need to start taking back the origins of our people. And I mean European Americans and those of anywhere in the world of European descent. Okay. A lot of us are starting to use Ancestry.com. People are going through some of the DNA things to find out their true ancestry. You know, you may have thought you were Polish and to find out, no, you weren't Polish at all, dude. You're Scottish. So people start going back and tracing their family history, finding out maybe the towns where their ancestor came from. You know, what's the meaning of your surname? Surnames have meanings. Oftentimes they show a trade. A general job description or location. Like, for example, Walt Disney. Disney has actually been kind of Americanized, but his original name would have been Disney. Disney is actually part of northern France near Normandy. So basically saying Walt Disney, Walt Disney, means he is from Disney in northern France. Now, someone can look up and says, well, this has got no French ancestry, blah. Somewhere along the line, one of his, obviously on his father's side, has some French ancestry because the name stuck. Unless they're a Jew and they come over and they fucking steal the people's names, or they do shortened versions of their names. Well, oftentimes, if you see something that ends in a repeated letter, that should raise an eye of skepticism because it could be a Jew, especially if it ends in like double R. So, or could be a shortened version of Berg or Stein, which means mountain or stone. But then you also got Rothschild, which basically means red shield. Well, surnames have meanings. And a lot of times you have familiar names that are actually combinations of two different groups, such as, there's a gal that I used to work with about 20 years ago. I wonder if they'll have her. I don't even remember her fucking nickname. It's been so goddamn long. And I can't look it up right now at the moment. Wait a minute. Maybe I might be able to. I can't remember. I remember who it was. I don't have it on this phone anymore. Yes, I don't have it on this phone. I'm amazed to myself, some of the contacts I've had for 20 some odd years have been on phones, you know. But my biggest thing is, this particular chick, I remember because we had a discussion one time because she seemed to favor black guys, but I guess she had the inability of getting pregnant for some reason. But her last name was actually a combination of like Irish and German, I think. You could clearly tell it was two names that were kind of brought together. And, Fretons or something like that. I forget what it was, but I mean, you could tell it was an Irish-German blend. So that's one of the things I've been seeing is a lot more people are starting to find out their ancestry, where they came from, and learning some of it. Matter of fact, Irish history is actually Lithuanian, and actually there was a state broadcast feature in one of their stadiums of Lithuanians in traditional European dress, actually praising the old gods of Lithuania. And it was, I wish I had translations because I would love to see what some of the songs are about. But you can hear the passion in some of the stuff. They had a completely choreographed assembly out there. And even to the point, just the way they were doing their choreography and shit, it was badass. And that was one of the things I thought was really neat, was the fact that this was completely state-sponsored. It was very well shot. They used drone cams as well as regular ones. And it was whoever was the director of that particular thing did an excellent job calling the shots to editing that thing on the fly. So I was like, wow, it was powerful. But you see them in, because they're from, Eastern European countries, to actually see them in a traditional garb doing this stuff. And it was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. It's like I saw the new Heilung video that just came out. And you got a girl that looks like what Maria France is supposed to be when she's young, even with the antlers in her ear, or not ear, but on her head. And then you see her in her full shawl costume, singing the lyrics to whatever. And it's powerful stuff, man. When you watch it, it makes your blood like yearn for a better day. It's kind of like a wolf that's been caged up for a long time. When you finally have a hole in the fence and you can actually run in the forest, it's like you actually have not only a taste of freedom, but you get to really feel what it's like to reconnect with the wild. So that's why I encourage people all the time, find a really good community area, especially a good wooded park, and walk through it, man. It truly rejuvenates your soul batteries, and not to mention your ancestral batteries, because of the fact that it is our natural state of things. And I think when you live in a city in a concrete jungle like that, it really sucks the soul right out of you. You get used to living in your apartment, or you go to work every day, come home, what do? Might make a sandwich, plop your ass down on the fucking couch or a chair, and watch television for the next 3 or 4 hours. Then you go to bed. You do this shit over and over again. What are you doing if nothing? You're just killing time, man. You're not interacting with your kids, or if you have any, you're not going out playing in the yard, you're not hanging with friends. You're a weekend warrior. You wait till the weekends to go over to your buddy's house and have a few beers. Maybe jump in his pool. What kind of fun is that? You know, a lot of kids these days don't know what it's like. You know, the best tasting water out there is from a garden hose. It's best from sitting out there all day long in the middle of the sun, dude. That's the best tasting water there is. Oh, fuck, yeah. Now someone goes to get water. Oh, God, don't drink out that. All the bacteria. Dude, what do you think the flavor comes from? I'll be like, hey, man, just don't turn on full blast. But I put him in the fucking hose right in my mouth and just suck all that water right out, man. Hell yeah, that's some good shit. That's what I'm talking about. It's what it was like to be a kid in the 70s. You know, we never got sick as much back in those days because we played in the dirt. You cut yourself, I ain't got time to bleed, dude. Throw some dirt in that motherfucker. I mean, that's just the way it is. That's how we build up our natural immunity. George Carlin talked about that. Man, we swam in sewers and, you know, rivers of shit. There was never any issuance of polio in that particular part of New York because everybody swam in the fucking East River. You can't get better immunity than fucking swimming in that shit because it was sludge. I thought that was kind of funny. So so what I'm kind of leading to is here is that as people are starting to discover their ancestry, especially if you are still in the family planning phases, you might want to seriously consider some of the names that we're so used to hearing these days are not from our people. I don't know how many people have shortened versions or slang versions of many of these names, and they think that they've been westernized or what's the term I'm thinking of? Angelicized. So many of the common names that you hear naming of boys these days, we really need to step back and say, you know what? I'm not naming my kid that fucking name. No fucking way. So we need to get away from this biblical name bullshit and these derivatives of many of these biblical names and really look at more ethnic names of your people. If you're Polish, if you're Italian, if you're Icelandic, you want to seriously consider naming your son after traditional ethnic names. In other words, instead of naming your son David, which is actually David after King David, we can call him Dave. No, dude. It's still a derivative of a Jew name, okay? Stop calling your kid David or Dave because that's not a name. Or Benjamin. Oh, it's Ben or Benny or Bunny. Well, Bunny might get away with it. You know, my dad actually knew a guy named Bunny. I don't remember actually what his real name was. Maybe it was a derivative of his name. But seriously, stop naming your kid Benjamin because it's a Jew name. It comes from the fucking Bible. You know, seriously. So I come across the page that covers that topic very much, and we really need to start getting away from a lot of that shit. So here's Bible Names for Boys. This is actually written on May 2nd of this year by Pamela Redman. This is Baby Name DNA website. This is at nameberry.com. Okay, so Bible names for boys have dominated U.S. popularity list for its entire history, with biblical boy names Jacob and Noah taking a top spot for nearly 20 years until recently when Liam took over, which is obviously an Irish name. Along with Noah and Jacob, other Bible baby boy names in the U.S. top 25 includes James, Benjamin, Elijah. Who the fuck names your kid Elijah? Lucas, never did like that name. Ethan, never cared for that name either. Samuel, no, I would never name my kid Samuel or even name him Sam or Sammy. Sorry, don't worry. And David, oh, you mean David. Unique biblical boy names, or should say goy names, gaining visibility in the UK and Australia as well as the US include Asher, Cyrus, Ezra, and Thaddeus. I would never name my kid those fucking names, okay? No fucking way. Faith and religion have always been important components of why parents choose Bible names for their sons. Maybe if you're a Christian, sorry, dude. I would look at the fucking ancient texts of my people, and even going far back, most of my heritage is Deutsch. So I would consider traditional Germanic, Viking, Nordic names. But even before that, I would go even farther and look at some of the names of my ancestors at the time of the Romans. Now, the eagle has always been a traditional sign of the nation of Germania. So, I mean, the thing is, and again, Germany was not united until he's the one that actually united the kingdoms of Germany, essentially, and it became one nation. So that wasn't until like the end of the 1800s. That being said, Hans, Wilhelm, and other names are more appropriate. You know, Otto. So let's look at some of that shit real quick. So in my case, let's look up German boy names And we'll look at some possibilities for that as well. Okay. Here is some traditional German boy names. And again, my German's not very good, so I got to try to make this sound as best as possible. Jürgen, Karl with a K, Stefan, Walter, Hans, Klaus, and Gunther. Those are some typical German names. But then you got some Christianized German names. You know, obviously, Alexander is defender of mankind, and that's Greek. Whereas Elias, one who believes Yahweh is the Lord, is Christianity. I would never name my kid Elias. Sorry, guys. Didn't sound right, dude. You look at these Hebrew names, you just go, what the fuck? I mean, anyone ever grew up or ever went to Catholic school and just kind of go, you know, I just can't get in this fucking bullshit, man. I've always questioned that shit, even when I was in Catholic school growing up. And again, folks put me through that off and on because it wanted me to have a better education. That's all fine and good. But I'm so glad I was never fucking brainwashed by that fucking Bible shit. But my biggest issue is, you know, Christianity is a very pacifist religion by nature. So that's a serious issue because of the fact that it wants us to go into those Ten Commandments and all that bullshit. And then you hear some of the arguments like, oh, the Ten Commandments should be in the courtroom. Dude, I don't want a law of the Hebrews to be in my fucking courtroom. Fuck all that. Now, that being said, if you're going to have the Ten Commandments, then you need to have all sources of law based in there. You should have the 12 tables of Rome. You should also have some of the laws of the Nords and some of the things that they had done because of the fact that it influenced a lot of Northern Europe, Northern and Central Europe for the longest time. And again, 12 tables of Rome was the first official registered rules of what it meant to be generally a Roman citizen. It was always kind of implied and stuff, but when the people started revolt, they came up with the 12 tables of Rome and said, these are essentially the essentials of what it means to be a Roman citizen and what you should expect from your government. And of course, later on, they created the People's Tribune, so they felt like they actually had a seat within the Senate, so that way their voice could be heard directly from the people. So it was basically the herald of the people. And of course, that was also politicized as well, such as Mark Antony becoming People's Tribune while Caesar was in the process of becoming dictator. So I think that's pretty interesting. But we need to go back to some of our traditional names. You know, instead of William, if you have any type of German or Austrian, consider Willow or Willem. For example, Willem Dafoe, it's not William Dafoe, it's Willem Dafoe. It's actually unique to see his name like that. So Wilhelm, I mean, obviously Kaiser Wilhelm was the Kaiser before he abdicated the throne in Deutschland and became a republic, the Weimar Republic, which went to shit very quickly. But I mean, you understand what I'm saying. So if you're French, if you're Italian, if you're Polish, you're Greek, you're Icelandic, please consider traditional names of your people when you name your sons as well as your daughters. You know, I actually enjoy seeing some of the names of some of the Irish girls that I've come across. I've seen two different spellings, but recently I came across the name Tierra a couple of times in the last two or three years. One of them is actually one of the singers of the Irish group Billowood, who I've played here on the show. Now, it's spelled differently. I think it's C-I-A-R-A, so I think, yes. Yeah, Tierra. So, it's pronounced Kiera. I've also seen it spelled K-I-E-R-R-A, so Kiera. So, but again, it's unusual to see some names like that. If Liam is starting to become more popular, which I have seen people name their son Liam, Scott McGillivray the singer and guitarist for Ohio Celtic rock band Homeland, named his son Rory, after Rory McGallagher. Okay, Rory is obviously a more Irish or Scotch Irish name. Look at some of those names. You know? I mean, seriously, we need to really look at some of the names. I mean, even John Wayne, you know, his original name was Marion Morrison. Oh, it's Marion. No, dude, it's in the masculine because it's Marion, not Marion, not Marianne. It's Marion. A Scottish background, Marion is actually a proper masculine Scottish name, a lot more traditional, not as much used, but, you know, and when he became, you know, kind of used the name Duke because of a dog at a fire station he used to go by, Duke Morrison didn't really kind of go, and then John Ford came up with John Wayne. And so, boom, there you go, John Wayne. Can't get more American than that. And then, of course, he is the very embodiment of Americana, which I think is something that is lost. People aren't watching Westerns like they used to. A lot of those old Western movies have a lot of great values in them. Men stood up for their women and their honor and things of that nature. I think that's something that's been lost. My biggest issue these days is these millennials. I cannot tell you how many times I see a young couple and the fucking man, or I'm going to say a boy, okay? The boy always goes in the fucking restaurant door before he lets his woman in. I'm sorry, dude. The only time you ever lead going in is if there's potential danger or you don't know what's going on, okay? But typically, you open the door for your woman, or I don't care if it's a little old lady or your own daughter. You open the door for the female, and you let her pass. That's respect. That's something that seems to be fucking lost these days on these motherfuckers. I've actually, a couple of times, I actually fucking called the kid out. Kid would say, I'm like, really, dude? You kind of looked at him like, whoa, really, dude? You going to fucking open the door and go on before your girl? Are you fucking, I look at her, it's like, does he do this to you all the time? Does he even fucking open the car door for you? And she looked at me like she fucking just saw an alien or something. I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, man. Open the fucking door for your woman, man. It's called respect. Did you help her with a fucking coat? Wouldn't she go outside? I mean, I love it when I still see older people still do that. And you'll see a lot of baby boomers that might, unless they're all in a hurry, of course, but traditionally. You go out to dinner, come on, man. Show your woman some respect. Chivalry. Chivalry is what matters, okay? I can tell you my ex-wife, I mean, I'll tell you this. A couple of times we split, and after that, I'm done, you know? But one of the things she told me was that the dude she was with for a short time and went out to the mall, his buddy was in the back seat in a Camaro. And you know, those back seats of those fucking 80s Camaros are real fucking tight. And he gets out of the car, and she's just sitting there. She's like, what are you waiting on? He's like, well, aren't you going to open the door for me? Fuck no, bitch. You got two hands. Open the fucking door yourself. And the guy's like, yeah, bitch, open the fucking door. And get out of the fucking seat. She said she knew right then and there she fucking made a mistake. And she told me, he's like, you know, sonny, you're the only guy that ever opened a door for me. My dad never did it, and no guy I was ever with ever fucking did that. I'm like, well, singing Cinderella to you, bitch. Don't know what you got. Let's go. And yeah, you know, that's one of the things I really stress upon. So, and if you're lucky, if you do it right, the best part is you teach your daughters to always say, look, if a boy never helps you with your coat, never opens the door for you, he's not worth a second look, because it means he doesn't respect you. Means he's got poor upbringing. And believe me, there's a lot of guys out there that are still raising some of that shit, and they know how to treat their lady. Not only that, other guys watch. Sometimes they do that to show that they're a little bit higher class. Like, yeah, you hang with your buddies, but hey, dude, you open the door for your woman? Hey, man, you just fucking raise the bar for some of these other cats. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you go out on prom. Come on, man. That is a memorable moment in your life. You're both all dressed up. Yeah, you might be getting room and fucking later. Who knows? Bottom line is, hey, man, she's dressed up. She's got the corsage, all the shit. She looks fucking great, dude. Treat her like a fucking queen, man. It could be a long time girlfriend. It could be your only. It could be the date for the night for prom. Because maybe both you, neither one of you had a date. So you say, hey, you want to go out? Sure, no problem. Let me tell you what. She will always remember that. Because she goes, you know what? The date that I had the prom, I remember. God, he opened the door for me. Oh man, it was really great. And it really makes the night more memorable. You know, I mean, there's some guys I knew from my high school who never went to a prom. I didn't go to my junior prom because the date I was supposed to go canceled on me or some shit. But I went to my senior prom with my high school sweetheart. And then since she was a year older than me, she went to her senior prom the next year, which kind of helped me make up for my junior prom. So no problem there. You know, we all had a great time. And we put our money together and we got a limo. Thing was, those memories are still good. Matter of fact, my buddy who took a gal that I went to fucking grade school with, I had connected with her again about 10 years ago, something like that. And I showed her some pictures that I still had. And one of them was from that prom night. And she was with my buddy Brian. And, she's like, yeah, I remember that was a real fun night. You know, I really had a great time. You guys were really cool. You really, really made me feel special that night. And so here's 20 some odd years of 20, 25 years. She remembered that still, man. She remembered she felt special that night. She thought she was a normal humdrum kind of gal. Not too many guys gave her a second look, but the bottom line was, she remembered it, and she had nothing but favorable memories. So that's what I'm saying is we need to get back to traditions that make us who we are, to show us we have class, and also show that we respect our women. Because a lot of these fuckers that are coming in our countries, Muslims don't give a flying fuck about the women. Whenever I see a muzzy walk around and his woman's in a hijab, or I was at fucking Caesar's Creek not so long ago, and I saw Camel Jockey out there with his women, and they might as well be wearing a wetsuit. The bitch barely had her face sticking out. She had a whole fucking, I mean, it was damn near a beekeeper's outfit, man. She's out there on a hot summer day, all in black. Like, she's in a wetsuit out there, and again, it's not form fitting, so I just want to get that straight there. So she had love handles. You wouldn't have known it. Bottom line is, it was hot as fuck. She didn't even take her shoes off so she could wade in the fucking water, man. She didn't even have aqua socks on. She had tennis shoes on. That's how much that motherfucker kept her. And I just, like I said, you piece of shit. You know, I don't understand their culture, man. How do you fucking enslave your women like that? Where's the fucking fun, man? Seriously. Fuck that. I want my woman to be just as much a fucking equal footing as me, because there are many things I may really put her on a pedestal. On other things, you know, she may want me to make the choices on. And that's an agreement you have within your home, you know. Now, who am I to come in your house and criticize? Absolutely not. Don't you come in my house and criticize me, motherfucker. There's the door, bitch. It will hit you in the ass on the way out. But when you're out in public, then you're open for criticism. Because how you act in public when it comes to your family member says a lot about you. And one thing I can't stand about a lot of these immigrants or even some of these blacks that walk around, they let their fucking kids scream and holler like it's bloody murder, man. I don't know what these people were in Walmart the other day, but this kid just started hollering. Ah! I was like, God damn, man. I said, give that fucking monkey a banana or something. Jesus fucking Christ. And a couple of young white guys walk by there giggling like, wow, did he just say that? Fuck yeah, I did. I was like, put a fucking banana in that fucking monkey's mouth. Jesus Christ. And she still kept on going, ah! Finally, I was like 2 or 3 hours out. I was like, will you shut that fucking kid up or I'll shut it up for you? Hey, kid shut up within a buck a minute. And then about 7, 8 minutes later, I heard him down another aisle with the rest of their fucking brood, and it started up again. I ain't sure I gave him a dirty-ass look, and I walked by, and I looked at the fucking father. I looked right at him, and I'm like, dude, really? And I held my hand out like, Really? The kid's sitting there screaming his fucking head off like he ain't got no goddamn sense. And as I'm walking down by the books, I think the fucking kid finally shut his goddamn mouth. But the bottom line is, dude, first of all, you don't let your kid fucking act like that in public, okay? That's the biggest problem that I see these days, is that people are so afraid to discipline their children in public. Oh, my God, someone might call fucking children's services on you because you spanked your child. Goddamn right I did. And, you know, if you got good enough rapport with your children, you don't have to fucking lay a hand on them. All you got to do is give them that look. All you got to do is give them that, like my mom, she used to start poking me in the shoulder and tell you something there, buddy. Oh, shit, mom's pissed. Not that my case. Dude, I don't piss mom off when I'm in the store because I won't get any fucking toys. You know, I learned that real fucking quick, dude. You don't piss mom off when you're out in the store. You will not go home with a fucking toy. You will not get an action figure. You will not get a Hot Wheel. You ain't going to get shit. You might get your ass lit up when you get in the car or when you get home. That's all you're going to be getting. And I think a lot of that's fucking gone, dude. I mean, so many people are trying to hang with their kids like they're their friends instead of being their parents. That's the biggest issue they'll see these days. As they hang out with them like they're fucking best friends. I'm like, nah, dude. That's something you do after they're grown up. Okay? You'll always be their fucking parent. But the bottom line is, you need to be the parent and tell them, know their role. If not, there will be some corrections. So, I mean, that's the biggest issue I see these days is that kids don't have any type of a sensibility of scarcity. They don't prepare for the weather because they don't walk to school. They act out in public because they think if they cry and holler enough, someone will just give them what they want anyway. I tell you what you're going to get. You fucking cry out and get, you ain't going to get what you want, but you're going to sure as fuck get what you need. Oh, yeah, now I hear black women talk shit to their kids all the time, man. If they don't let that monkey fucking scream its head off, I tell you what, that kid's going to be screaming its head off afterwards because it just got its ass beat. Because I know a lot of black women don't put up with that bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man, mama don't take no mess. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, moms. And if you do have a family, pops will fuck you up. Oh, yeah, you go out there in public and fucking act a fool. You're going to get gestured, motherfucker. I mean, seriously. That's one thing we're missing is a good family, stable family unit, which seems to be not happening anymore. That's the biggest problem these days. So we need to have our children respect their parents and don't play one against the other. Well, if dad says, no, I didn't ask mom, she'll let me do it. I tell you what, if one of my kids ever fucking came up and I said no, and you try to go behind me and fucking get mom's it, it's up to the mother to fucking say, did you ask your father? Because I know if you're asking me, he must have said no. That's the type of attitude you need to have. Too many times I see these bitches do get, my biggest issue too is also, you should share the discipline. So let's say you did something stupid, okay? Your kid lives with the mother, okay? Did something stupid, maybe they're grounded from TV. Especially if you got shared parenting or something, okay? Oh, good. I don't have to fucking worry about it. She's going to get over to daddy's. I'm going to watch fucking TV. I would be like, when I go pick the kid up, I go, are they on any restrictions right now? Yes, they are not to watch TV for 2 weeks. That means, unfortunately, that includes your time. Okay, no problem. I will enforce the discipline because they're not going to play both ends against the middle. Now, the shoes on the other foot, probably wouldn't happen. Hey, man. The little fucker didn't clean up his room like I told him to, you know. He probably won't have the same pull. But guys, step up. Have a rapport with the mother. If anything, if she's got half a fucking brain, she's going to appreciate that and go, hey, Junior fucked up. He didn't pass his test. He don't get to watch no fucking, he don't get to play video games or watch TV for 3 weeks. Or the whole month. No problem. I will be strongly enforced. So, if anything, if the woman has half a sense, she would appreciate the fact that you're basically backing her up. Now, a lot of times they don't always do that for you because they're hypocrites by nature. Oh, up during your dad's time? Nah, don't worry. You can watch TV. So you're walking up, turn on the damn tube. Okay? But really, also, monitor what your children watch. Do not let them watch any Disney stuff. Watch some of these channels. If you have Netflix, look at the shit that they have. you can edit many of those shows and take them off their listings. A lot of shit that's out there is smut. If you don't have the time to watch these programs, look them up and read reviews. You would be surprised what type of reviews people put about these programs. Because Disney has even said straight up, we're trying to put as many LGBT fucking characters into our shows as possible. But in other words, they're grooming your fucking children to accept homosexuality. Either that to accept someone who is queer, or they should be queer themselves. Let me tell you what, if I had a son, he'd fucking come home and said, hey, Dad, I'll lock it up the ass. There's the door, motherfucker. It will hitch on your faggoty ass and way out. Get the fuck out of my house. You ain't no son of mine. Slam the door on their fucking ass, and that's it. So that's the way I'd fucking do it. And so, that's harsh. That's cruel. Nah, dude. They watch so much shit to make it this rainbow shit to make it look like it's cool to be fucking queer. I'm sorry, man. If you're fag, it's because you can't get chicks. It's that simple. And when the worst part of it, I hear from chicks over the last 30 years, why is all the best-looking guys gay? I mean, look at some of the Hollywood actors that are queer that you never would expect. I mean, Dirk Benedict during the original Battlestar Galactica. Dude, he was handsome. He was kind of gung-ho, macho. Whoever imagined in real life he was a fag, you know? Richard Chamberlain, okay? Every major role he ever did was as an alpha male. He's a beta. He ain't stepping. He's fetching, dude. He takes it right down the windpipe. I guarantee you he is slobbing the knob. So my point is that a lot of these, Rock Hudson, for example, a lot of his co-stars figured out he was gay if he didn't say anything about it, but he always was one of the highest starlets of the time. Of course, by 1985, he died of AIDS. Why? Because he's a fag, he's Peter Puffer. He fucked the wrong dick and got AIDS. I mean, seriously, that's how it is, dude. Sad to hear. I mean, Judas Priest is a whole new meaning now. You see Rob Halford in a leather outfit shit, dude. Dude, he's now the fucking biker from fucking Village People, okay? And then all the Village People guys were fags. So it really taint. Every time you hear a Judas Priest song now, you know he ain't singing about a chick. He's singing about a dude. Pretty sad for one of the baddest metal fucking gods of all times. Metal God. So, I mean, you know, seriously. It's amazing how many of these guys you find out that are queer the whole fucking time. Hell, even Robert Reed from the Brady Bunch. Florence Henderson said she knew the first time she kissed him on set, he was gay. It's like, you're into dudes, aren't you? He's like, yeah, I actually am. You know? And then when they did the reunions, he wore a mustache, tried like my mask on. Nah, dude, you look like Freddie Mercury. In other words, you're not stepping, dude, you're fetching, okay? I'm sorry, man. What you do in privacy on home is your business. That's where I would seriously say Castle Dominion, if you like have this fucking tailpipe, that's your business, dude. Keep it in the fucking house. Keep it in the closet where it belongs. Nobody wants to see that shit in public. When you step out there and you're doing PDA with a dude, I'm sorry, man. If I had children, I don't want them to fucking see that shit because it's acceptable. If anything, will say, hey, look, there's a faggot. And that's not only too. We're afraid to teach our kids right from wrong. It's like, oh, just go along to get along. But, oh, no, that's your thing. Oh, little Richard, you mean dick? So my point is, dude, is that you need to teach your kids wrong from right and that some behavior is just not acceptable. Now, that doesn't mean you have to fucking say, look, I'm cool with fucking little Richard over here. Little Richard. Dude, because my general opinion is, if you're a fag, dude, that's so funny. As long as you don't try to pick up my ass, I don't care what you do, you know? I remember a guy in high school. He looked like Doogie Howser, okay? And who, you know, Patrick Harris is a fag. But my point is that we called him Doogie because he looked like Doogie Howser. And I remember he has a girlfriend with him, dude, and one day in my senior cafeteria, he comes out and says, hey, man, I just want everybody know here that I'm gay. Oh, that's your thing, man. I don't give a shit. No, he's going to try to fucking hit on me. I don't give a fuck what you do. My best friend John said the same thing. Well, so that's a surprise, but hey, man, what's your cup of tea? Cool. His girlfriend is so devastated, she locked herself in her fucking attic bedroom for a month. She was so depressed. She thought she did something to make him go gay. Years later, I bumped into him. Me and my good buddy and my wife at the time, we went out and had a good time, saw a band or some shit, local band. We stopped at Denny's to go get some breakfast. And then that particular one on North Main Street, you get a lot of people from Celebrity. Celebrity was a queer fucking joint, whatever. And I kept seeing this redhead in his red dress sitting at a table across from us, and I kept going. I looked at my buddy and go, dude, why is that too close to so familiar? I don't know, man. I've seen him somewhere before. Now, I'll tell you what, you could take him anywhere. Dude, we could be in another goddamn state and he'll know somebody in that bar. I've never seen anything like it. But he was always social butterfly. But the thing was, is that he goes, my wife had gone to go take a piss, and I went to go pay the bill. He's like, oh, hey, Sonny, hey, you know, my buddy's name. Like, I didn't say anything. And he goes, well, obviously you know us, but don't think we were know you. He's like, don't you know who I am? I was like, well, you look pretty familiar. He's like, it's Doogie. Oh, so you made a few changes since high school. He's like, oh, no, I'm just dressed up for the night. Dude, I almost couldn't even tell. He looked that good. I mean, now he's obviously definitely fucking fetching, dude. He ain't stepping, okay? That chick has got to reach around, all right? But the point is, that's his thing. But you know what? He kept it under control. He kept it within certain control groups. He didn't try to fucking spread the wealth, you know? If that's his thing, great. Good luck to you, man. Just play it safe, all right? I'd like to see you live a long time, man. Point is, what you do in privacy in your home is your business. When you step outside the door, it becomes everybody's problem, okay? If you're fucked up on drugs, don't leave the house because you got munchies, go to Taco Bell while you're fucked up on heroin. I'm sorry, dude. Or you smoked a big old fucking bong. Nah, dude. Stay home, get your munchies before you do. That's a responsible recreation drug user, is get all your munchies before you start. So anyways, all right. So you can follow us on various social media on Gab, Getter, Wimkin, damn, I forgot all that. Oh, we're still on Twitter. We're actually still on Twitter for a little while. Was just in there. And, Jeff. So, okay. Follow us there. Check us out. We're going to try to fix some technical difficulties there. All on Parler, too, and Telegram. Okay. Salaam, and we will get things back at the par real soon after I make a couple adjustments. And we will see you soon. Salaam.